This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio. Who to start? Who to sit? Who's a sleeper and who's a bust? A weekly look at the upcoming weekend in fantasy football from a Patriots perspective.
Back to throw, look, fires over the middle. Caught, touchdown. Welcome.
And from all around the NFL.
It's Garrett Lynch, and he's got it. It's a touchdown for Larry Fitzgerald.
Ask your fantasy questions, hear from the experts, and let us be your weekly cheat sheet. Now, here's our resident fantasy geek. Guru Brian Lowe.
Incredibly, we have hit week 16. Week number 17. What am I saying, Kevin? Week 17 of the NFL season and the final week when it comes to fantasy football for this 2010 season. And what a ride it has been. What a ride it's been for the season and on the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com Radio. We appreciate you joining us today. We appreciate you having joined us all throughout the season. If you're listening and really paying attention today and thinking about emailing us, it probably means that you're in the championship game for your fantasy football league. So congratulations to you and for making it this far. Now, as we've talked about in recent weeks, a lot of leagues wrap it up on week 16 because week 17 is sort of an odd one around the league, and it's no different this year. You just don't know who's going to be playing. Who is going to be playing for a lot of these teams? Well, we'll try to help you sort through that this week as you're setting your lineups, because here's what happens. You picked up Michael Vick, you know, in week two, week three, off the waiver wire, week one, really, and he's carried your team to this point. And what a sinking feeling it is to find out for sure that he's not going to play. But that's why, you know, we have an emailer who's emailed us just about every week, and he had Michael Vick and Kevin Cobb on his roster for a great amount of the season, and I thought that was a smart move because you're basically assuring yourself that in case Michael Vick does go down or doesn't play in a given game, and let's be honest, Michael Vick, that's the way it goes with him. He gets hit a lot. Kevin Cobb would be the guy. Well, if Michael Vick is your starter and you don't have Kevin Cobb on your roster right now, and if you don't have a really good backup anyways, you are scrambling for the right guy because Michael Vick has been ruled out of Sunday's game. Philadelphia closing out the season at home against Dallas. They have nothing to play for. They are the number three seed in the NFC playoff picture, and that's the story here. There are very few teams. Honestly, there's only a handful of teams in the NFL who have a lot to play for on Sunday. You got St. Louis and Seattle playing Sunday night. That is a playoff game. The winner of that game, the last regular season game of the NFL season, goes to the playoffs. The loser goes home. Now, we can make the joke that the winner is really only fodder for probably the New Orleans Saints the following week, in that 4-5 matchup, but the truth is, those are two teams playing to win. You've got teams like the Indianapolis Colts and Jacksonville Jaguars who are playing to win because they're not playing each other, but they have a playoff spot on the line. Now, the Jaguars we'll get to because they have a ton of injury issues, and they might not really be playing at full force. They really won't be on Sunday. You've got the New Orleans Saints and the Atlanta Falcons. They're both in the playoffs, but there's a big difference, and I mean a huge difference, between being the number one seed and being the number five seed. They have something to play for. But the majority of teams in the NFL either know they're going home for the winter, this is it, they're out of the playoffs, or they're like the Patriots, the Eagles, the Bears, teams that, you know, really their spot is virtually secured. I guess the Bears still have a chance at the number one, but they won't be worse than the number two. So, you know, that's where a lot of these teams are at. So it's difficult. It's difficult to sort through what's going to happen. Now, I've been trying to peruse the internet all day. The internet.
Peruse, I like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, peruse the internets.
You haven't been looking for anything that included Rex Ryan, have you?
Oh, no. I leave that for you, and then you send me the highlights, Kevin. So, you know, the Michael Vick news, that's big. He is not playing. And I think that the Philadelphia Eagles offense in general is an offense to stay away from. Kevin Cobb is going to start. But you figure that even if he is on his A game, and he's a competent backup quarterback, we know that. Guys like DeSean Jackson, LeSean McCoy, Jeremy Maclin, these guys might get some rest. You know, a team like Philadelphia that is locked into the number three spot, A, they know what their seed is. There's nothing else to play for. But they don't have the benefit of a bye week the next week. So they do need to rest their guys, resting some players who are banged up or just have wear and tear, if your spot is locked up in Week 17, makes sense. On the other hand, the Patriots are locked into the number one seed. The Bears are locked into one or two, but they know they're going to have a bye. So there's more incentive, you would think, for the Patriots and the Bears to play their starters a good amount in this game, because you know you're going to have that week off for the rest up, and you don't want to lose too much momentum, the amount of momentum that you could lose if you don't play meaningful games over a three-week period of time. So Michael Vick is out. We know that. I mentioned the Jaguars. Maurice Jones-Drew was held out of practice on Thursday. David Garrard is definitely not playing. Jones-Drew probably won't play. He didn't play last week. Mike Sims-Walker is a guy who, you know, he might be able to play. He's got an ankle injury, might not. And we're talking about a Jaguars team that has a lot on the line. You know, for them, you know, in this battle with Indianapolis, both teams play at 4:15, which is good. I think the NFL sets it up that way. Jacksonville at Houston, Tennessee at Indianapolis. Indy has the edge. If they win, they're in. But if Jacksonville wins and Indianapolis loses, Jacksonville can get in. So a lot on the line there. Rashad Jennings, in other words, becomes a really, really hot commodity this week. If you were smart and Maurice Jones-Drew is your lead running back and you brought in Rashad Jennings in recent weeks, it's a good move with good hindsight, foresight, because you know you were really doing it based on this sort of situation where you knew that you might be in a championship game in Week 17, and getting the backup for your key guys makes sense for a situation like this. Now, was someone going to go out and sign Brian Hoyer, you know, in the middle of the season, looking at a week where maybe Tom Brady wasn't going to play? Well, no. But you want to have a competent backup that might be able to help you out. A couple of others that are out or that are not playing or that whose status for this week is in jeopardy or you know really a guy you don't want to rely on, and that is Chad Ochocinco, who for the second straight week he will not play, he will not make the trip to Baltimore, and that might be the end of his career in Cincinnati. By the way, but as it pertains to fantasy football. You know, he's had an okay year, not a lot of scoring, reasonable production, but not typical Ochocinco production. But we saw last week, with no Ochocinco and no T.O., the Cincinnati passing game came to life. Cincinnati sort of came to life in general. So for them this week, and they're at Baltimore, by the way, tying all this in, Jim Harbaugh has said he's not likely to pull his starters from Sunday's game. The Ravens have a chance at a bye. So the Ravens are playing to win. The Bengals had a little spice in their step last week, and maybe they're looking to end on a positive note, even though it's been a disastrous season. So guys like Jerome Simpson, who had a big game, Andre Caldwell, who had a decent game, Jordan Shipley, you know, if the Bengals come out with a hop in their step like last week, and Carson Palmer has, you know, feels a little rejuvenated after, you know, after last week, and you've got guys like Mike Sims-Walker or guys like the Philadelphia Eagles players I mentioned who, you know, might not want to rely on this week. Jerome Simpson and Andre Caldwell become interesting guys that you might want to pick up right now and then make that decision come Sunday on who to start. You know, okay, so Jim Harbaugh has said he's not likely to pull his starters. Different teams operate differently in terms of what their philosophy is on playing guys in this Week 17, as well as their philosophy on how forthright they are with information. Now, there's still, you know, about 65, 70 hours before Sunday's games kick off, and maybe we'll see more teams in this situation. And keep in mind as well, a road team has to announce if a player doesn't travel. So if the Giants at Washington, well, the Giants have a lot to play for. If Arizona at San Francisco, if Larry Fitzgerald doesn't travel, Arizona has to announce that. And Fitzgerald is another guy with an injury concern. He had a head injury. Sounds like he still might play on Sunday against San Francisco, but you might want to be wary of him. So, listen, all I'm saying is you got to take note of what different teams are doing, what their philosophy is entering this week's games. And there's really only a handful of teams that have something to play for. I kind of like this whole division game situation. The league started starting this year, has every Week 17 matchup be a division matchup. I kind of like that. It's a good way to wrap up the season. Certainly a lot of these, there's really only the one game, the St. Louis-Seattle game, that is a winner-take-all in the division. And, insert joke here about how terrible the NFC West is, and it's a joke of a division. But the fact of the matter is, one of those teams is going into the postseason, one is not. So NBC has decided to choose that game as its game to wrap up the season, the night game. And the winner will likely play New Orleans, although that New Orleans-Atlanta situation is up in the air for the top seed in that division. How about the New York Jets, another team that I should mention that is an interesting one? The Jets...
Yeah, most men like to do a lot of things with their speed.
I couldn't even understand that one. Sorry, Kevin.
Yeah, most men like to do a lot of things with their speed.
I that one's over my head. I haven't heard that one. Why don't you explain?
Nothing.
Is that a foot fetish?
It's a foot fetish.
Okay, I couldn't even understand. I couldn't make out what he said.
He said most men would love to do a lot of things with those feet.
Oh, boy. Okay. Well, the aforementioned Rex Ryan has said he's thinking about resting LaDainian Tomlinson for their entire game against the Bills. Now, the Jets, they're locked into a wild card game, a road wild card game, 5 or 6. And they'll be heading to, either an Indianapolis or a Kansas City or, one of those. Actually, I think it will be one of those. Or Jacksonville, it'll be one of those. So they're a team that, hard to say what's going to happen with them. Mark Sanchez will start. He will play. He's been banged up. But guys like Santonio Holmes, LaDainian Tomlinson, hard to say about these guys. I think Sean Green is going to play and play well and get a good amount of carries. Keep in mind, the Buffalo Bills have the worst run defense in the NFL. Worst in the league. So, it would be unfortunate if you've been relying on LaDainian Tomlinson or Sean Green if either one of them doesn't play. But I think if any of them sit out, it'll be Tomlinson. And, I think Sean Green has a chance for a big night, a big game. I say night, and that ties into Joe McKnight, who you might want to keep in mind as a possible backup, as a possible starter, not a starter. You don't want to rely on him as a starter in fantasy, but keep him in mind because if you have a spot available on your bench, you might want to take him into account because he might get some more opportunities. Sidney Rice, here's another guy. Sidney Rice with a concussion doesn't look like he's going to play this week. It wouldn't really behoove the Vikings to mess around with a concussion on a game where, they're going home. No question about that. But Joe Webb, how about Joe Webb? Brett Favre doesn't play last week. Joe Webb really acquits himself pretty well, runs for a touchdown. Minnesota coming out with a huge win over Philadelphia in that Tuesday night game. First Tuesday night game in 60-some-odd years. And Joe Webb does pretty well. So, Joe Webb's a guy that could be under consideration for this week. And we should also note Antonio Gates placed on injured reserve today. He started out with such a huge year at the beginning of the season. And, banged up for a lot of the middle of the year, came back, did okay here and there. He's on injured reserve, so you can't rely on him for this week's game. Now, talking about San Diego, and San Diego closes out at Denver, a 4:15 game. Mike Tolbert suffers a scary injury last week. And how about this? We've gone 16 weeks, 15 San Diego games with the whole Mike Tolbert, Ryan Matthews, Ryan Matthews, Mike Tolbert, Mike Matthews, Ryan Tolbert. Ugh, head is spinning. Who do you start? I've had both on one of my teams for a lot of this year. And Mike Tolbert became the every week guy, but he's out. You'll see Ryan Matthews climbing up rankings this week. Greg Rosenthal on RotoWorld.com has Ryan Matthews as a top 10 running back this week, number 9. And Matthews has been very shaky in terms of his draft status as a rookie. He was a top 10 pick. The Chargers traded up for him. This might be his first real week that he can break out and end the season on a positive note. And just keep in mind, if Ryan Matthews has a huge game this week, don't underestimate the impact that could have in looking at next year. I think Ryan Matthews could be a hot commodity early in drafts, in fantasy drafts, next year. That might be all it takes, a huge week this week for him to vault ahead. LeGarrette Blount, an undrafted free agent from this year in the NFL. I talked about him last week. You know, I think he's going to be a first-round draft pick in most fantasy leagues next year. You know, with opportunity matching talent and what he did as a rookie. Ryan Matthews, a top 10 pick in the NFL draft this year, just didn't latch on to that opportunity, both because of production issues and injury issues. But this week, Mike Tolbert sidelined, and Ryan Matthews will get his chance. So if you've had Ryan Matthews on your team and you've just been patient with him or started him here and there, that patience will pay off this week because he's going to play and play quite a bit against a Denver team that is 31st in the league against the run. So we talked about Buffalo and being 32nd against the run, and the Jets running backs having a big opportunity this week to pile up the yardage, maybe get some touchdowns. Well, the same could be true for Ryan Matthews this week. He'll be the San Diego starter, and that is that. I really like the St. Louis passing game this week. St. Louis at Seattle in that game that I said, you know, really is winner take all for those guys. And Seattle is one of the worst defenses in the league, 29th against the pass. And I see this maybe being a bit of a coming out party for Sam Bradford. He's had a good year, don't get me wrong. But I think this could be, you know, on a national stage. It's not like St. Louis has had a lot of opportunities, if any, in primetime games this year. Well, they'll be in the national spotlight this week. And I look for big, really big, a big outing from Sam Bradford and, you know, guys like Danny Amendola, Laurent Robinson. We saw Denario Alexander lead the team in receiving last week. He's had a couple of big games. You know, I think the St. Louis passing game is in for a huge outing. I would rely on them if you have anyone from that team, from that offense, from that passing offense available to you. I think that's a good one to have. Meanwhile, I think the St. Louis defense is a great defense to have in your lineup going up against Seattle, and Seattle has been pretty lousy. You're listening to the Fantasy Lowdown here on Patriots.com radio. Web radio at Patriots.com is the way to hear, the way to check in with us. You know, we are email-based. I had a feeling maybe it would be a little slower on the emails this week because, you know, a lot of people who email in over the course of the season, week to week, you know, they might be out, or they had their championship week last week, and this week just isn't as important. But if this week is important to you, we want to hear from you. Web radio at Patriots.com. You can call us as well on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482. I did talk a bit last week just in terms of looking ahead to next year, and that's where a lot of fantasy football owners are. It's looking at next year, whether you won a title this year or not. It's looking ahead to next year, and we can talk about that as well. Who are some guys that, you know, are under the radar right now that maybe you see as being, you know, really attractive candidates early in the draft next year? We can talk about that as well as we continue here on the Fantasy Lowdown and focusing on this week's games, but acknowledging next year as well. This is the final edition of the Fantasy Lowdown for this season, and you know, we can talk about some of the fantasy storylines that we're overriding this year. Kevin and I will maybe address that. Kevin can chime in as well and take your emails at webradio@patriots.com. We'll be right back on the Fantasy Lowdown right after this.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.
So, Pat, how many Advantage miles have you racked up on American Airlines this year?
That's kind of a personal question, Brian.
It's nothing to be embarrassed about.
I'm not embarrassed.
Oh, okay, then I'll ask you again. How many miles have you racked up?
236,000.
Miles? That's got to be wrong, because I fly a lot more than you.
Well, flying isn't the only way you can earn Advantage miles, Brian.
Right. I knew that.
I mean, you can earn miles when you buy all kinds of stuff, you know? Stuff you use every day.
Also, like, you know, ping pong balls, Argyle socks, really tall ladders.
Like clothes, you know, movie rentals, gas for your car.
Oh, shish kebabs, Russian nesting dolls, snow globes.
I was thinking, like, newspapers, you know? When you bank, go to restaurants.
Oh, fake mustaches.
Yeah, Brian, you can earn miles when you go to a novelty store and buy a fake mustache.
Awesome.
You can earn Advantage miles for the stuff you buy every day, whatever that stuff may be. Learn more at aa.com/advantage. We know why you fly. We're American Airlines.
You may know that Verizon Fios has more HD channels than cable, but what you may not know is that now you can sign up for Verizon Fios with no term contract required. And if you're not absolutely satisfied, you can cancel with no early termination fees. That's right. You can get Fios TV, internet, and phone at a guaranteed low price of just $89.99 a month for a year with no term contract required. And if you don't love it, you can cancel with no early termination fees. Just call 1-866-892-6057. That's 1-866-892-6057. And you'll know why now is the best time to switch to Fios. Get your game face on. Play the Gridiron Challenge at patriots.com/gridironchallenge and enter for your chance to win tickets and a chance to win the grand prize, an all-inclusive trip to the big game. Brought to you by Verizon. For official rules and terms, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. For new customers only, equipment charges, taxes, and fees and other terms apply. Rate may increase after 1 year. Fios service is available in select areas. Offer expires 9/18/10. Call for more details.
Okay, I'll have the Giganto Burger with Cheese Combo.
Oh, will that be all?
That's it.
Go, Pats! What?
If you're like this man, you have what is known as a healthy obsession with the Patriots.
Hi, just the jeans today?
Yeah, thanks.
Go, Pats!
Okay, that was weird.
I know, right?
At Bank of America, we understand, and we can help.
I'll just take this with you already.
Oh, here you go.
Go, Pats!
Indeed. Go Pats.
With Patriots checking from Bank of America, you can do more than just tell the world about your loyalty. You can show them by getting the Patriots logo on your checks and debit cards.
I say, here's a baguette. Go long.
I'm open.
Whoops. Ask your Bank of America associate if Patriots checking is right for you. Or go to bankofamerica.com/patriots.
Bank of America N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation. And account setup fee may apply in some states.
Get ready for a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. You could win an all-inclusive weekend trip to Super Bowl 45. You're already halfway there. Just enter for your chance to win right here at patriots.com. Simply click on the Verizon logo to play the Gridiron Challenge. It's that easy. And you could win weekly prizes, including Patriots tickets, autographed merchandise, and more. Start playing today. Brought to you by Verizon. No purchase necessary to enter or win. Must be a legal U.S. resident 18 years or older. Ends December 27th, 2010. Void where prohibited. For official rules, visit patriots.com/gridironchallenge. Now's your chance to hit a B-low on the Ace Ticket Hotline at 508-543-7482.
Also, webradio@patriots.com. That is the email address here on the Fantasy Lowdown. The final edition of the Fantasy Lowdown for 2010. Happy New Year, everybody. Week 17 on the NFL slate. We're talking about who's in, who's out here in Week 17 as you set your championship week fantasy lineup, getting ready for Sunday at 1 o'clock. No Thursday night game tonight. That was fun while it lasted, 6 weeks or so of that. I think it started, a week or two before Thanksgiving and went up to the last week. But now with everything on the line, final week of the season, every game is at 1 or 4:15 on Sunday, with the exception of St. Louis at Seattle at 8:20 on Sunday night, and then we'll know the playoff schedules. And I happen to think it's going to be an extremely competitive and entertaining playoff season, because I just think in both conferences, with the exception of the number 4 seed in the NFC, which will be that St. Louis-Seattle winner, I think you can make a case that every team has a chance to go all the way. You could probably find the good and the bad in every team. I think every team has a chance to lose in that first round, and every team has a chance to go all the way to Dallas. I really do, and I think it's going to make for some really good games. And, I think from the Patriots' perspective, you hope that, they're really competitive, hard-fought butt kickings in wild card weekend, so that whoever the Patriots face the next week, has a lot of wear and tear while the Patriots sat back and watched. So we're talking about who to start, who to sit for this week, but also talking a little bit about the year that was in fantasy football and even looking to next year. And, really the overriding storyline in fantasy football this year, to me, from an individual standpoint, was Randy Moss. And we talked about Randy Moss almost every week. I mean, here's a guy who was, if not a first-round pick in every fantasy draft, top 15, top 18, thinking, listen, he's going to be one of the top two or three wide receivers. Tom Brady's thrown him the ball. No worries about Tom Brady injury like there was going into last year. You know, maybe Moss wasn't going to have 2007-like stats. But, listen, somewhere in the 2008-2009 range is certainly fine. So, you know, he opens up with, you know, after the Cincinnati game, a press conference for the ages. The Patriots have the first 3 weeks. You know, he has, what do you have, one touchdown? Two?
Yeah.
Including the one-handed grab against Darrell Revis.
The Jets, yep.
And, you know, there were signs that, okay, hey, it's Randy Moss. He's still going to, you know, even if it's a down year for him, he'll still get his fair share of catches. Then you had week four against Miami, no catches, one target.
Mm.
And, hey, that was a first, but it's not like anyone thought, wow, that is it for him in New England.
Yeah.
The next day, that was it for him in New England.
The news was shocking going into that night. Right. Late into that night, right. You started to hear the rumbles and look at the news, and
exactly.
It was unbelievable.
So through 4 weeks, he had been a mediocre fantasy football receiver. Not Randy Moss-esque, but it's not like you were going to sit Randy Moss through any of those first 4 weeks. You're going to give Randy Moss the benefit of the doubt.
Well, you were willing to give him the benefit of the doubt a little more than I was.
Well, but you were in the minority.
I was.
But you turned out, you know, your thinking along those lines was correct. Now, he gets traded to Minnesota.
Mm.
First game against Minnesota, against the Jets, against Darrell Revis.
Caught a nice touchdown in that game.
Caught a great touchdown.
Brett Favre's 500th, actually.
That's right. Had four, maybe five catches.
Yeah.
The touchdown put him into decent yardage.
Very serviceable game.
Yeah, I don't think he had 100 yards. And my thinking going into that game was, hey, the Minnesota Vikings, who were reeling at that time, 1-3, plenty of time to salvage the season, but needed a spark. They're not trading for Randy Moss in order to have him just kind of hang out.
Mm-hmm.
And Brett Favre, what does Brett Favre do? He just flings the ball around. He'll throw it. And an interception by Brett Favre doesn't count against Randy Moss. So my thinking was Randy Moss is in for a breakout stretch here with the Minnesota Vikings. They're going to throw him the ball. They need a spark. They traded for him. They're not going to trade for him to just sit him. He's going to be fine. He has that first game where, you know, that touchdown was sort of late in the game.
Yep.
And up to that point, he had like two or three catches for 30 yards.
Late
really nothing
quarter.
Doing.
Yep.
And then he got the touchdown. From that point, to say it went all downhill is to do a disservice to Hills. Because
we like Hills,
you can't find a hill with the kind of downward slope that Randy Moss went on.
Yep.
Three or maybe four more games with the Vikings, concluding with a game in, of all places, Gillette Stadium.
Where he gives another speech afterwards, which was the key to him being out the door in his second franchise in the last, what, 5 weeks?
5 weeks.
Unbelievable.
He gave a press conference in which he all but begged to be able to have an escort from the visiting locker room to the home locker room.
Pretty much.
He praised everybody on the Patriots. Undermined his own head coach.
Yep.
24 hours later, he was sent packing by the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, you say, I'm talking from a fantasy perspective, you've stuck with Randy Moss to this point. Let's say you stuck with him through this point.
Yep.
You know, that first stretch of the season, you give him the benefit of the doubt. He goes to the Vikings that first game, he has a big game. So you're still saying, I'm not going to bench Randy Moss. I don't want Randy Moss on my bench when he has that run of breakout performances for the Vikings. You know, Sidney Rice hadn't been playing to that point. Percy Harvin with his migraines, you just never knew what to expect from him week to week. And then Randy Moss gets cut by the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
So then you're thinking, okay, any team that picks him up, if they pick him up, it's, again, probably a team that needs a bit of a spark. They're not going to pick him up and put up with all his nonsense and not throw the ball to him, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the Tennessee Titans pick him up.
It was just a matter of having a guy talented enough to throw the ball to him.
Well, that's true, too. The Titans pick him up on the verge of their bye week. Okay, he's got a week and a half to learn what he's got to know. He played with Kerry Collins back in Oakland. You know, even if Vince Young, I think at that point Vince Young was still, you know, a member of good standing or reasonable standing on the Titans. Even if Vince Young is playing, maybe he can get the ball to him. And I think that first game he had a couple of targets. No catches. Okay. First game, new system, working out the kinks. It's still early November. Another game. What do you have? One catch, 8 yards? two targets.
Yeah, it was like a token at the end of the game catch.
There was one game a couple weeks in where he had a touchdown. It was called back due to pass interference, offensive pass interference. And we got to the point, say, 3-4 weeks ago where Randy Moss might as well be a healthy scratch for the Tennessee Titans, especially once Kenny Britt came back. Wouldn't play. Didn't have the ball thrown to him. The downfall of Randy Moss, to me, was not just the biggest negative fantasy football storyline of the year. It was the biggest storyline of the year. Because to me, and I know I've said this before, I tend to be rather conservative when it comes to the guys I draft and the guys I draft high. I stick with them, probably to a fault. Not probably, definitely to a fault. And you got to learn your lesson sometime. Now, yeah. I didn't have Randy Moss on my team.
You got to cut your losses.
I didn't have Randy Moss on any of my teams.
Fortunate enough, because for most of those teams that did, he was a first-round pick. And that's a heck of a waste for a first-round pick.
Right. And if you tried to trade him by midseason, you were out of luck. You weren't going to get anything near full value on the dollar. So there you go. Randy Moss, the biggest, a huge, one of the biggest busts. Put it this way. Among players drafted in the first round or second round, really take any year, he might be the biggest healthy bust in recent memory in fantasy football. There's a lot of guys who get hurt, or they're banged up, or they miss some games, or there's other circumstances. But this is a guy who had no injury, we know of. He could not have been a bigger bust
yep.
among players who actually played all year and didn't have an injury.
Yep.
So, sorry if you had Randy Moss on your team and that's how it went, but you know that's the way it goes. Now,
I want to bring you up for a second though. I'm going to pick you up off the mat. From this Randy Moss, you know, pretty much a eulogy at the end of the season for all you Randy Moss owners.
Yep.
What about a guy? I was talking to a good friend of mine who was fortunate enough to win one of the leagues that I'm in, and he is now in the title game for the other league that he's in because he very intelligently drafted Arian Foster in like the fifth round.
Yeah.
He on the other side of the equation here was one of those pleasant surprises that you were able to steal a guy that puts up, you know, first round pick numbers that you were able to nab in the third, fourth, or fifth round.
Well, let's get to those pleasant surprises, and you bring up the A number one guy. And I know that as training camp was winding down, heading into September, the Arian Foster wave was picking up.
Yep.
Picking up steam. He came out of nowhere when you look at it based on the offseason, the moment we entered training camp, he came out of nowhere. But by the time week one of the NFL regular season came around, Arian Foster was seen as a guy who could be a lead running back for the Houston Texans.
Mm-hmm.
And could be a very good fantasy running back.
But the thing was,
but no one had this.
No, in my train of thought, Brian, when I was debating on taking him, and you know, I knew of him. I didn't know he was obviously going to be that good.
No one did.
But my biggest reservation taking Arian Foster with a pick in the second or the third or maybe even the fourth round was that I looked at the track record of the Houston Texans and I look at their quarterback and I look at you know, Andre Johnson, and I was like, is this team going to really run the ball all that much?
Well, good point, but I also think if you look at a lot of teams that have good passing games, good overall offenses, the running game is usually good. Now, I say running game rather than running back
exactly.
because we've seen what the Patriots have done in different years. So if a team like the Houston Texans, who had a terrible year,
but you knew
that they were going to, most likely, they were going to have a very good passing offense.
Yeah, and in this case, you look at a team like the Texans, and like you mentioned with the Patriots, the throw sets up the run
correct.
In a lot of cases.
So if you go into the year knowing the Texans have Matt Schaub, Andre Johnson, they're going to have a pretty good passing game.
Yeah.
And one single running back emerges as the likely lead back for them, opposite of what the Patriots did in, say, 2008 when they had, like, five different guys sharing the load. When you find out Arian Foster is going to be the lead running back of what should be a good overall offense, I take my chances.
Yeah.
I take my chances. And a lot of people did. Now, no one knew he'd be what he was. Otherwise, he would have been the first pick in the draft.
Yeah.
But no one, you know, you've got to sit back and say, okay, listen, he might be good, but I'm not putting him ahead of Adrian Peterson, yeah. Chris Johnson, Maurice Jones, Drew Rice.
I'll be the first one to admit, like, you know, take him in the fourth or the fifth round, sure, but I wasn't going to take him in the top three rounds.
So you got a guy like Aaron Foster who entered the season as a guy who was had an up arrow next to his name. This guy might be good.
Yeah.
But how about Peyton Hillis?
Oh, my goodness. The pachyderm.
Peyton Hillis gets traded. He's virtually a throw-in in the Brady Quinn trade.
In
Brady
a new
Quinn,
life.
You know, Brady Quinn going to Denver, Peyton Hillis and a few other players and just a hodgepodge of players and draft picks.
Yeah.
And Peyton Hillis ends up being one of the leading rushers in the entire league.
Yeah.
Gets his opportunity, a breakout game against the Patriots right in midseason, huge yardage, huge touchdown totals. And so Peyton Hillis is a guy, whereas Arian Foster was drafted in top four or five rounds, Peyton Hillis wasn't drafted at all. I don't remember exactly which was his very first big game where it was clear that, you know, you go into the year, I was high on Jerome Harrison going into the year. He was seen as the main guy for Cleveland. And, you know, he has a miserable start to the year and gets traded to Philadelphia, opening the door for Peyton Hillis. So Peyton Hillis, and I guess LeGarrette Blount I'd put in this category too, were guys who, unlike Arian Foster, were not even on anyone's radar screen entering the season, but things came around during the year.
It was unbelievable. That game, I felt like for a lot of us up here in the Northeast, that game against the Patriots was like the coming out party for Peyton Hillis.
It sure was.
Because not only was he dominant in the run game, but he was catching screen passes. He was
catching
doing everything.
Catching screen passes, leaping over Patriots defenders.
Running over the ones he couldn't jump over.
Right.
It was unbelievable.
It was just such a one-sided performance for him in that game.
And it's rare to see a back do that to a Patriot team.
Right. No question about it. And then we look at quarterback, and really the story at quarterback in terms of can you believe this happened was Philadelphia.
Yep.
They trade Donovan McNabb in the offseason. Why? Because they have Kevin Cobb, a second-round draft pick 3 or 4 years ago, and you're going to give him the reins. You're going to hand him the reins.
And to be fair to them, too, in that he had also kind of shown flashes of that up arrow that we were talking about.
Sure. And there was no, you know, once they traded McNabb, Michael Vick was there, but Kevin Cobb was the guy, was the heir apparent. He was the guy waiting. So what happens? First couple weeks of the season, or was it the first week of the season? He gets hurt. Michael Vick comes in. Michael Vick is the starter. Andy Reid is wishy-washy for a while. Says one thing, says the other thing the next day. Cobb this, Vick that. Kevin Cobb, Michael Vick, Kevin Vick, Michael Cobb. All that. And at that point, you just didn't quite know what to expect out of these out of Philadelphia. I'm going to need your help here, Kevin, on the email. I think you pointed out there's an email, but I lost it here. You know, Kevin Cobb ends up sitting down. But Michael Vick gets hurt a few weeks in, and Kevin Cobb comes back for a game or two, or whatever the number of games was. And Michael Vick is on the bench. But now Vick, by midseason, Vick had come right back from injury, took on the starting job, and he basically became I'm not even going to say an MVP candidate because there's really only one NFL MVP candidate. That's Tom Brady. But he became a fantasy football MVP candidate. And if you were one of the lucky ones to jump on him in the waiver wire, and let's be honest, as soon as week one, as soon as it was clear that he was going to get a chance, he became a very attractive waiver wire pickup. It wasn't like he was going to be available as a free agent a few weeks in. Good for you if you took him. So Kevin Cobb, Michael Vick was really the key quarterback storyline. And then you got, you know, Brett Favre. I mean, he came into this season after a big one last year and not a lot of interceptions as certainly a worthwhile starting quarterback in fantasy. Had a terrible, terrible year. Carson Palmer. You figure might be high hopes for Carson Palmer this year. Ocho Cinco, Terrell Owens, good offense overall. What a disastrous
bust.
Year.
Huge
a complete
bust.
Carson Palmer was. So lots of busts, lots of surprises and all that, but, you know, those are some of them that came to mind here, you know, going through this past year. Webradio at patriots.com is our email address. Webradio at patriots.com. Paul in London checks in. And, Paul, thank you for checking in. Thanks for all of your emails all year. He says, hey, Brian, thanks for all the help this year, and I look forward to next season with your help. I'm left in a championship game in my pay league. Pick my team for me. Okay. Quarterback.
So we get some work.
Whoa, yeah, we got some work. Quarterback, Brady, Bradford, or Cobb? That's a good one. That's a real good one because I think Tom Brady plays into the third, well into the third quarter, maybe if not all of the third quarter. And I think the Patriots are you're not going to see much of a difference in terms of feel, effort level, philosophy from the Patriots, and certainly at least in the first half of this game, than any other game. So, you know, they're playing the Dolphins. You say, okay, definitely, I want Brady. I want Brady in my lineup. I think Bradford is going to have a huge week because I think they're playing a terrible defense in a game that means a ton. It's a breakout opportunity for him. He's really bringing these no-name wide receivers around. I think it's going to be a huge game for him. And Kevin Cobb, while I think he has an opportunity for a good performance, I just don't. I think we're going to see more Jason Avant than DeSean Jackson, Jeremy Maclin, and Kevin Cobb isn't in quite a rhythm really at all. I look at Greg Rosenthal here, and you know he's got Brady and Cobb 8-9, so he's got them very close. He's got Sam Bradford down at 16, which is a little low for me. I might want to go Bradford, but you know I'm going to rule out Cobb. I don't think Cobb gets an opportunity to start over Brady and Bradford if these are your guys. I would start Cobb this week, but not over Brady, not over Bradford. So it comes down to Brady or Bradford. And, you know, I think Brady's going to put up decent numbers in what probably won't be 60 minutes of action. The question is, can Tom Brady put up in, you know, 40 minutes of action, 45, what Sam Bradford will in the entire game? I'm banking on Bradford. I got to be honest here. I'm banking on Bradford. Very high on Sam Bradford. The only thing is, Paul, and I like I said a little while ago, I tend to be conservative. Would I really, if I bench Tom Brady for Sam Bradford, and Brady has a huge performance, I'd be kicking myself much more than if I did the opposite. So in that sense, I might go Brady. It's a tough one. I guess I'll give the edge to Brady. I do think he's going to play most of the game. But I'll tell you, that's a tough one for me, Paul. Real tough one for me because I think very highly of Sam Bradford in this game. All right, running backs. Needs two of these. Ryan Terrain, Darren McFadden, Felix Jones, Danny Woodhead, and Javid Best. An interesting group right there. And I think Ryan Terrain, in this case, might be your best bet for a general combination of health and should play quite a bit. I'll say this about Darren McFadden. He looks to be a game-time decision with two injuries. So they had a walkthrough today, the Oakland Raiders did, and he took part in that but did not take part in the practice session, which is interesting. Now, that's going to be a game-time decision, and Oakland plays at 1 o'clock, so you will know by 11:30. I think against Kansas City, yeah, I'd probably start him. I'd go McFadden and Terrain, but if it turns out McFadden doesn't play, well, between Felix Jones, Danny Woodhead, and Javid Best, Javid Best also with a toe injury, I wouldn't really be interested in him. I think Felix Jones would be your guy against Philadelphia. And again, you know, with Philadelphia on the defensive side, hard to say, you know, what their mentality is going to be defensively, but I would probably go Terrain and McFadden if McFadden plays, Terrain and Jones if McFadden doesn't play. Two wide receivers, Marcus Colston, Mike Wallace, Santonio Holmes, and I assume it's Danny Woodhead here. Well, Marcus Colston, let's see if I can pull up what I saw on Marcus Colston. He had a mysterious knee scope either today or yesterday. So he is very much questionable for the Saints game against Tampa Bay this week. A very important game for the Saints. They have a chance at the number one seed after beating Atlanta the other day. But the news with Colston that I'm trying to pull up right here, I'll get that in just a moment. I don't know if it's great. I don't know if his prospects for this week are great. And I think you might be looking at a Mike Wallace, Santonio Holmes situation. But I'd be wary of Santonio Holmes. Now, with Colston, he underwent an arthroscopic procedure on his right knee 2 days ago. So he's not practicing. And he's probably going to be questionable. So, you know, very up in the air, very much up in the air on him. So I would not take my chances on him. I'd probably go Mike Wallace and Santonio Holmes. Thanks as always. Hope to hear from you on Patriots.com radio again soon. Happy New Year. That's from Paul in London. Paul, thank you very much for all your emails.
Cheers, Paul.
All throughout the season. Cheers to you. We appreciate all your support here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Web radio at Patriots.com is the email address, webradio@patriots.com, as we hit the home stretch of our final show of 2010. It really has been a lot of fun bringing you fantasy advice all throughout the season. Personally, I did not have a good fantasy year.
No, we both sucked this year.
Boy, did I suck. I mean, I had, you know, in the four leagues that I'm in, I only made the playoffs in one of them. And I was...
Sucky.
There you go. And I was in second to last place in one of them and really hovering around, you know, in, near the bottom in these leagues. And it really was a bad year. And I blame no one but myself. I hope that the advice I gave on the fantasy lowdown here on the radio and our hits on Patriots today, also on Patriots Football Weekly, I hope that I gave some good help and good advice to a lot of people.
Good Lord, I would call you a media whore, but I feel like that would be offensive to whores.
Well, you know, I do what I can. Hey, listen, we're all one big happy family here, so it's all one unit. You know, Patriots today.
That's true.
Patriots.com, PFW. So I hope I was able to give you you some good fantasy advice. Really enjoy doing this show because you get to know some of the same emailers week after week and get a feel for how their team is doing and the decisions people have to make, and it's all in fun. It's a lot of fun, going through the course of a season in fantasy football. I feel like fantasy football more than other fantasy sports, you know, you can really do well just based on the waiver wire. And what I like to do on this show is be the one that sort of research some waiver wire pickups for you over the course of the week and let you know what I think about them when we join you on Thursdays at 4 o'clock Eastern here on Patriots.com. And, Kevin, you know, you've had a chance to chime in. I think you've, we're not like the PFW guys who would hammer you every single time you open your mouth, right?
No. Part of the fun, I think, B-Lo, was, you know, for our emailers who wrote in on a weekly basis, to hear from them on a weekly basis and actually see how our advice and how the moves that we kind of suggest to them affect their team.
Exactly.
And in a lot of cases, it was very positive, and they expressed, you know, many thanks and their success in the league. So that was a lot of fun.
Probably because if it wasn't positive, they just wouldn't chime in.
That's true. They probably just would turn us off.
Which hopefully...
Bad for ratings.
Yeah. Oh, brutal for ratings. But, you know, this was the third year of the Fantasy Lowdown Radio. And,
my first.
And I think, getting a little better each year, and had some good guests on, including some of our co-workers here in Craft Sports Productions.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Patriots.com, and, guys like Greg Rosenthal as well, Joe Dolan,
yep.
And certainly got some great insight from those guys. So, you know, just to touch on and recap again what we're looking at for this week, you know, Michael Vick is out. Antonio Gates, he's on injured reserve. Teams like Philadelphia, you just can't really rely on their offensive players. Jacksonville, a lot of guys banged up. It's really, if you're in a championship game this week, the challenge is mighty. You really need to be careful and really go down to the wire to 11:30 on Sunday morning and get a sense.
Be vigilant on that waiver wire.
Absolutely. Be vigilant on the waiver wire. Be cognizant of teams that might surprise you by not playing guys. The worst is if, you know, you start a guy who really only ends up playing a quarter and you just didn't know that.
That's going to be frustrating to watch.
Yeah, get a sense, if you can, for, you know, what's on the line for a particular team, what their coach's philosophy tends to be. I think for the Patriots offensive players, you know, really, you know, with the exception of maybe Aaron Hernandez, who has been hurt, you know, listen, you look at what happened to Wes Welker in the finale last year, don't even think about that. He's playing. He's playing Sunday.
Yeah, he came out today and said he wanted to play. Football players play.
They all do. I'd be stunned. I'd really be stunned if the Patriots treat this game as an exhibition, as the fourth exhibition game, and not play any of these guys. Keep in mind, you know, Tom Brady tends to bring this up, too, at this time of year every year. It's not like the preseason when you have 80 players. You can only dress 45 guys. You can't sit every starter. You wouldn't have enough guys on your team. You wouldn't have enough guys playing. So keep that in mind, too. They're not going to be sitting every starter. No one is. But I think the Patriots starters offensively will play well into the third quarter, if not all of the third quarter. And to be perfectly honest with you, if it's a tight game going into the fourth quarter, I wouldn't be surprised if they play all the way through.
Yeah, just to get that game situation. You can't duplicate that in practice.
Keep it going. Now, there might also be something said for if it's close, having Brian Hoyer get some time, get some opportunities in a very close game, get that kind of feel, because, you know, what if circumstances dictate that Brian Hoyer is needed in crunch time? We don't want to mention it. We don't want to talk about a Tom Brady injury, but you never know. What if you want to, you know, you might want to give Brian Hoyer a chance. So a lot is up in the air as you're setting your lineups for this week. But, you know, just monitor your team, your league settings and your league website. Just, you know, click on names, see what they're saying about different guys, about different teams and how they're going to operate here in week 17. Well, you know, that's about all I got, Kevin. That is about all I got. It really has been a memorable season, a memorable year, a good time here on the Fantasy Lowdown. Really, many thanks to literally everybody who emailed our show and certainly those who called our show as well. We had many emailers who chimed in each and every week sending me their lineups, their rosters, who they want to start. And really, this show is about you and your support. So we appreciate you checking in and listening to us. Many thanks to Kevin, who's done a masterful job behind the glass.
Thank you, Brian.
Has also helped helped chime in too with some of his advice.
It was a fun year, and I'm glad to be here.
It was a lot of fun, and we appreciate everyone who listens, everyone who emails, and we'll hopefully be back with you in the 2011 season with the Fantasy Lowdown. Be sure to check out all of our Patriots.com work through the playoffs. You know, the Patriots are definitely going to be alive, we know, for at least the next 2 weeks, and a lot of content generated by everyone that we work with here at Patriots.com. That's going to do it for the final edition of the Fantasy Lowdown for 2011. Many thanks for listening. Many thanks for emailing. Many thanks for calling. And have a happy new year.
This is the Fantasy Lowdown on American Airlines Patriots.com radio.